Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ben.
Hello?
The media defender.
Hi, Mike McCartney, Fred Bartram, and Jim Domers.
Hi there, guys.
Oh, good. How we doing?
All right.
All right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, have you guys had an opportunity to kind of look to see where this may have stemmed from?
Yeah, it seems, I mean, from our telephone call yesterday, it seems that we all pretty much came to the conclusion that it probably was caught in an email transmission, because the attacker, I guess, let's just call the Swedish IP the attacker, knew the login and the IP address and port, but they weren't able to get in because we had changed the password on our end, you know, following our normal security protocol when we're making secure transactions like these. On the first login, we'll change the password. So
Right. Obviously,
it seems that the most likely scenario is that at some point that email was intercepted, you know, just because it was going through the public internet and there wasn't any sort of encryption key used to protect the data of that email.
Well, what kind of we use RSA on our end. So, I mean, we have RSA authentication through our Exchange server to get logged into our stuff.
Right.
But then
when it's going, you know, from your mail server to our mail server, it's going through all the routers and hubs on the way, and we didn't make any kind of key between our servers to make sure that the email would only be viewable by people with that key.
Right. No, I understand that. We could certainly add PGP encryption or some other email encryption so that it's encrypted in transit. But I guess what I'm saying is that how comfortable are you guys that your email server is free of other eyes?
I'm not sure what you mean. Our email server isn't free of other eyes. I mean, there's nothing to say that this email was intercepted on our end as opposed to it being intercepted on your end.
True.
That is true. I mean, obviously somebody...
The question is, are you comfortable that it was not intercepted on your end?
I mean, I know it can get grabbed. I mean, theoretically, hypothetically, it can get grabbed anywhere along the way as it transmits through routers and different protocols from our end to your end, but... I guess we're asking, are you comfortable that you guys don't have anybody in your email server?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we checked out our email server, and our email server itself has not been compromised. I'm sorry, I didn't know that was your question.
Okay, yeah, I guess I wasn't clear. I mean, you guys know as well as we know that you guys are a major target of hackers.
Right, yeah, we're a major target of hackers, and then, you know, you guys are part of the government. Government is always a major target of hackers and people trying to snoop around for information. So, I mean, both of us are pretty big targets.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, I guess, you know, and obviously the content of this operation that we're doing is extremely sensitive, and that's why, you know, we take very extra caution and security measures when we're talking about access to any of these secure inside networks that we're dealing with. So we just need to, you know, let's make sure that we add whatever security and functionality we need to, so that not only our data communications and protocols are secure, and maybe we should wrap them in a VPN tunnel, public-private key for the data that's being transmitted between us, but also for our email communications, making sure that, you know, we can talk to each other through email using, you know, another layer of communication so that, you know, nobody can understand or read what the hell we're talking about with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can certainly set up a PGP key for the email. As far as doing a VPN tunnel or something like that, you know, I can look into that with Jay when he comes back on Tuesday.
Okay. I don't want to slow down performance either. I mean, if that's going to really dog our communication link between each other.
You know, I think that really, right now, what we could do if you wanted is, as we discussed yesterday, we could change the port that we're doing things on your server.
We're already in the process of that.
Okay, so we can do that. We can change the login. Obviously, the password, you know, if you guys need to know what password we're using, we can just communicate that by phone. And I think the email isn't really an issue so long as we don't really say anything particularly sensitive in the emails.
Right.
You know, and we're pretty available by phone. So if you guys are comfortable just communicating with us by phone, then anything that's really, really sensitive, we can just communicate in this fashion. I know it's a little bit cumbersome.
Yeah, it can be sometimes. I mean, email's so easy, and that's why it's, you know. Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a very sensitive investigation, as you know, and I'm just nervous now going back through old emails. I know we didn't really say too much in our earlier communications, but if anybody was successfully sniffing our communications between each other over the last month, I mean, they're obviously going to know that you guys are helping the state of New York and the Attorney General's office in a child porn investigation of global scale, based on, you know, some of the child porn keyword lists, text files we attached and sent back and forth to each other, some of the, you know, results that you guys had sent in the preliminary results of the keyword crawling.
Yep, but, you know, I mean, by the same token, obviously, people are always aware that child porn is is something that they need to be, you know, not transmitting in the first place. So anyone transmitting is, you know, per se infringing on the law, you know, committing crimes.
And as such, they go through extra lengths to try to make and find out what law enforcement is doing so they can avoid being caught.
And right. Yep. You know, one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, peer-to-peer networks are global, and for this particular initiative, we had decided, just from a technical standpoint on our end, we had just decided to use a particular peer-to-peer network. We could always switch to a different peer-to-peer network if that became an issue in the future, but, you know, we're still seeing that there would be good amounts of data coming through to you. So I don't think that this is going to have the effect of, you know, somehow quashing all the data that you would even be able to collect from us.
No, I don't think so either. I think that the peer-to-peer network as a whole is a target-rich environment. But what I also know through 15 years of doing this is that if a pedophile is in the peer-to-peer network, he's in the news groups, he's on websites, he's in chat rooms, he's everywhere else. I mean, they're not generally isolated to one technology, and they also go to great lengths to try to proxy and cover themselves and, you know, view hacker blogs and logs looking for what law enforcement's doing, and it wouldn't be outside the realm of a hacker group, many of which we've taken down in the past, big organized crime groups of pedophiles, to pay hackers for information about what law enforcement is doing.
Yeah.
And that's all. I'm not saying that this particular small little piece of a global child porn investigation is compromised. We will get lots and lots of bad guys in this, I'm convinced, and I don't have any concern of that.
All right, good.
Our scheme of being able to keep, you know, what we do in law enforcement a secret and protect it as best we can, you know, so that we can continue to be successful.
Right.
So, okay. More thoughts on exactly what we're going to institute as far as communication protocols here?
Yeah, at this point, what I've done is I've changed the port for access on that. I haven't opened it up yet. But what I want to do is I'd like to set up for password authentication initially. Give you guys a chance to have a public key authentication mechanism on that.
Okay, so you've already changed the port and you're going to set up, you already have or you're about to set up authentication for the password?
I've already set up a new username and password, which you can use for just general access into the server itself.
Okay.
What I'd like to do is next probably hour or two, disable password authentication on that server altogether and exclusively restrict it to just public key.
Okay, so you're going to disable password authentication and enable a public key? Okay.
And then from there, we can communicate until we come up with a little bit more of a permanent, more full-feature solution.
Here's the problem, or potential problem, and again, from a law enforcement perspective, the intelligence information that you guys are gathering, it's being fed to our systems and then our evidence collection process here. We need to be able to stand. It needs to be able to stand up in court. And in order for us, I think, to do that from a legal standpoint, we have to be able to get on a stand and say that the data that we get from you is pristine. It's validated. It's verified. There's no chance that, or there's a very limited chance that the data that came from you to us was in any way compromised, edited, modified, or goofed with, so that the information that we get from you that we rely upon to go out and connect to the IP machine, the IPs and the machines in New York that have the contraband files that we're pulling down, are all wrapped together in one nice little bundle. And
well, that part has not been compromised in any way. I mean, the communications between our offices in Santa Monica and our data centers in Los Angeles and El Segundo have not been compromised in any way, and all those communications to New York, to your offices, are secured. The only part that was in any way compromised was the email communications about these things. But
right, we're not exactly sure exactly where that breakdown was as of yet, right?
Right. And you might not ever know. I mean, all we can say for sure, Media Defender, is that Media Defender's mail server has not been hacked or compromised, and you guys are basically reporting the same on your side. So, you know, then it's just the public internet between.
I think our communication.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of IDS are you guys running?
I don't know. Let me look into that.
Because, you know, when was the last update? When was the last time you guys have checked any alerts? I mean, you know, and I have our people already working on it on our end. But like I said, our mail on our mail server is all encrypted. Our entire authentication process is RSA. But you're right. It's plain text going from us to you.
Hello? Are you guys still on the call?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Are you on a cell phone? Should we try restarting the phone call? Is it possible for you to call from a landline?
Can you kill what they're doing? Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hey, Brad or Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, occasionally. Hello?
How about now?
Now I can hear you. And now it's totally silent and I don't hear anything.
Is there any connections or something? Check your processor. Why?
No.
I can hear a little bit of the chatter between you guys, but I can't make out anything that you're saying.
All right, here's the deal. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Part of it is we're on a VoIP connection, a VoIP phone.
Okay. All I got was you guys are on a VoIP phone.
Right, and I think at this moment, your application is calling your machine back in California, and it's chewing up our bandwidth.
Got it. Okay. At least now I understand what the phone situation is, and now I understand a better limitation of VoIP.
Yeah, it's, and we're only on a cable right now. We got two T1s coming in, so once they're in, we should be able to spread our bandwidth out a little better. Is it better now?
Yeah, it is better. Well, it was for a moment.
How about now? It's probably going to be better now.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
We'll talk about, you know, we'll keep our email content to a dull roar.
Yeah.
We'll talk by phone unless we can share some PGP keys for email. And if you can check on your end, again, just, and I'm checking on my end too. I'm not accusing you guys, but I think we need to, under the sensitivity of this thing, we both need to make sure that both of our systems are secure on both ends, both our mail servers and our networks, to make sure that, you know, whoever saw that email didn't see it on either of our mail servers or on the inside of either of our networks.
Right.
You know, if somebody's got access to a mail server, they might have access to other machines on the network. And the argument goes that, you know, even though the data that's being sent from us to you in a secure fashion is secure, if there's somebody sniffing around on your network or on our network, it's not secure on either end before it gets into the tunnel.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think we're good. Public-private key authentication, right, instead of passwords, so that we got a white list of IPs that are going to only be allowed access.
Yeah, we already provided you that white list.
Exactly. So we'll go from there. Now, going forward, how much more testing do you guys need to do, and can we set up a time early next week where we can go over sort of exactly what this thing is doing?
Yeah, we can go over things as soon as you like next week, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever you would want. We're basically done testing. I mean, we deployed, I guess, yesterday or the day before to your system.
Right.
So at this point, you know, it's just if you want to review how the data is appearing on your end. And then, you know, there was one thing that Brad had brought up yesterday as far as making the actual media files more easily viewable and more easily connecting them to the database.
Yes, exactly. We're going to need to do that.
Right. Well, the easiest thing for us to do, and let me know what your thoughts are about this, how about if we prepend to the file names where they currently are just the hash and whatever extension the file name should be, how about if we prepend to the file name the real file name from our database?
I mean, that's okay. I guess at the end of the day, what we're going to need to know is, other than the nuts and bolts of exactly what data we're getting from you, what data we have on our end, what your application's doing on our end with your data, to then go out and connect to the suspect IPs to pull down the suspect file, I need to be able to testify to that in court. So I'm going to have to go over that with one of you guys or both or all of you, almost line by line, to say, okay, here's what happens. This is how we get it. This is the structure we get the data in. This is what the application's doing on your end. This is what it's trying to do. This is how it's making its connection.
Yeah, all of that is really straightforward, and Jay can go over all of that with you on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's easy. Then what we're going to need to do is once we get the files,
right?
We have to be able to link them back to the suspect IP, along with all your metadata for in your database that's associated with that IP. So we get an IP in New York that's got, according to you guys, 127 suspect files that you saw while you were crawling. We go out and we connect to them on our end using your application. It goes out, it connects, it pulls the file or multiple files, presumably, hopefully. It's all of the file or part of the file, and it saves it out to our directories here on our evidence collection array. We then need to look at it. You know, computers are great, but they can't tell me what is and what isn't child porn in a legal sense.
Right.
So we needed some sort of a viewer or a viewer tool. It could be web-based that basically goes back. We can then make a selection whether or not it is or is not child porn. It gets entered into the database as being child porn or not child porn. And then the database is updated to reflect the fact that from this IP, we got this picture, it is child porn. From these two IPs, we got these two pictures, they are not child porn. From this IP, we got these four pictures, they're all, three of them are child porn, one is not. So that we can begin to make investigative decisions as to who we're going to subpoena and who we're going to make as a target and what evidence we have against those individual targets.
Okay.
Thing that we're working on that he can maybe give you some of the structure and template to, but we don't know the structure of the data in your database for him to try to reverse engineer those calls to the data in your database to put it into a viewer on our end. But he's done it before in other things, so he could probably help you at least with the web-based HTML template and sort of how the structure seems to work in what we're doing, what we've done in other things. And it's just a matter of, you know, working together on the back end data structure so that it's calling the right stuff and keeping track of the right stuff statistically.
Okay.
But it's not done same database structure that your data is coming to us in.
Yeah.
You just browse it on a web browser on our internal network and look at the data across our internal network and in the actual, you know, image files locally and do the review. So it's nothing's internet bound. It's all internal to us here. Yeah, so we can deal with that next week. I think that would be good. So we're ready to go, other than being able to view the images, make a determination as to what is, what isn't child porn, and then keep statistical counts and records and entries as to what IPs are associated with those contraband files and what IPs and metadata are associated with the non-contraband files, you know, globally.
Right.
IP addresses. And then hopefully we'll have a warm, breathing body behind the keyboard of those IP addresses. But that's up to us. That's our work.
Yep, that's on you guys.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I think this will be very good. All right, well, tell Jay we said hello, and why don't we plan something for like Tuesday afternoon or something?
Okay, Tuesday afternoon your time.
Try to finalize, we'll finalize basically what this app is doing, and we can finalize the last little piece of some sort of a viewer, and Brad can work with you guys on the structure or the template on the front end application of that, and you guys can help them with the back end, and together, I don't think it would take more than a day or two to piece it together, because like I said, a lot of it's already sort of been done. They're knowing your data set, where all your stuff is in your database. Cool.
All right, sounds very good. All right, so we'll set up a call for Tuesday afternoon your time.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you very much, and have a good long weekend.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend yourselves. Bye.